All right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this little wet, little dreary Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Awesome to have in studio the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend, one of my favorite people in the world, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you in. It's always a good time when you're in. We have a lot to talk about. You're fresh off your little trip from a little place called Augusta National. I know we want to talk about that. There's a lot to process at Augusta National, isn't there?
Way more than I was expecting.
It's like a feast for the senses, isn't it? Especially for a golfer.
It's just golfer's paradise, really, is what it is.
Yeah. People have described it as Disneyland for golfers, and it seems like it's every bit magical as they say it is.
It's just amazing. I can't wait to get into it and tell you all about it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break, though. When we come back, it's like, where's Waldo? Well, Waldo went to the Masters, and we'll be right back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back. On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Good to have him, my friend in the studio here, Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, so you go to the Masters. You weren't there the whole week. You're there for a couple of days. I know you have high expectations. I mean, I can't imagine anybody who tells you, like, no one goes to the Masters and says, oh, that stunk. So I imagine you had some high expectations. So maybe just take us through the initial shock of the place and what that's like when you get there.
Actually, a little story. When I got this invitation to go, it's for me to take off in April. It's busy. You know, should I do it? And I'm talking to one of my friends who has been to everything, Super Bowls, World Series games, sportsman's been to everything. And he said, Woody, I've been to everything. This is the best sporting event you'll ever go to. I'm like, oh, well, if he's telling me that. Now when I'm walking these gates, I have the highest expectation. It's going to be the best sporting event you're ever going to go to.
Right.
Nothing could ever lead up, could equal those expectations.
Right.
It surpassed it. It really, from the minute you walk in from the parking lot, there's members at Augusta National, and you could tell everyone who's a member because they're wearing their green jacket.
Of course, yeah.
And welcome to the Masters. Enjoy your day. Everybody from that greeter, if you will, that member who's greeting you,
yeah, right.
To the bathroom attendants could not be nicer. It just old Southern hospitality, nice, and even nicer.
Right.
And so you walk in the gate, and, you know, if you think TSA is good for security, the Masters has them beat. But way more organized, way more classy, if you will.
Right.
You know, hey, listen, we want everyone to have a good time. We're doing this to make sure to protect you. And it's going to take a few minutes, but we're going to be nice about it, you know?
Sure. They want to put you right at ease, you know?
Yeah.
We know this is a real hassle to do, but we got to do it.
Right. We got to do it to protect you. And, you know, we're sorry, but, you know.
That's it.
And the minute you walk on the ground, you go, what, I'm here? What? Huh?
Right.
And every morning that we walked on the grounds, it looked like someone had been there with a vacuum cleaner the night before.
Right.
That's the one thing that you just can't fathom, that how well manicured, how well the conditioning of the place is,
mm-hmm.
And how they keep it clean and how they, you know, they get the patrons to behave.
Right.
All right. You don't hear anyone yelling, "You're the man," and
right.
You know, go in a hole. You don't hear any of that stuff.
Right.
You don't see. You see, because
there's an expectation that has been established.
Right. And I think because of that, the people there are enjoying it so much more.
Sure.
You know. You know, about food. You go to a U.S. Open and you go to buy a beer and a hot dog, and it's $30.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to remortgage.
It's like $1.50 for a sandwich.
Right. Right.
Oh, and by the way, the sandwich happens to be wrapped in green paper. So if you happen to drop it, which, by the way, we didn't see anything dropped on the ground. But if you did, it wouldn't be that noticeable because it's green and everything is green.
Right.
Which is just, I mean, some of the things they think about, like the garbage cans, please, just asking to please help them out, put stuff in the garbage cans.
Right.
One morning, one of the crosswalks was closed because it was had rained that night. And they're like, we're not going to open the crosswalk just yet. Maybe a couple hours. You know, where do you want to go? You want to go to 7? You want to go to 10? Tell us the best way to go because we couldn't go over a crosswalk as opposed to them. You know, sorry, it's closed.
Right. You know, right. Or just roped up with roped off, no one there to tell you what to do or where to go.
Exactly. Just first class. You go in the bathroom. Now, you know, obviously because the tournament's held there every year,
right,
they can build permanent bathrooms,
sure,
which they did. But they've got bathroom attendants keeping them clean, directing people so that if you're waiting in line, it's, hey, it's open over there, it's open over here. Just first class.
Attention to detail.
Exactly. And if you talk to a member, we saw a few members and we asked, more than happy to answer your questions. This is, you know, what's going on. I mean, it just was just amazing to how everyone from the bathroom attendant to the member was so high class, nice.
Yeah, it's you know, I think that's the way the tournament had always been run, you know, in terms of its attention to detail.
Yeah.
I mean, they have – everybody knows the story of you know, how they used to have the early – well, I think they still do, in fact. I'm not sure. But the Masters, they used to have a private closed-circuit feed of the broadcast. And they have somebody like rating the broadcast, you know, and looking, making sure that CBS didn't make any mistakes.
Right.
Like, you know, someone would call up and be like, yo, you have Phil Mickelson at -3. He's at -2. You better, fix that, that kind of stuff. You know, that, you know, somebody would do that. So I think, you know, it's always been that kind of level of detail. And that's how CBS gets, by the way, gets their 1 year. I mean, everybody thinks, I'm sure everybody knows by now, it's only a 1 year contract with the Masters. And it was always based on that, you know, we'll rate you every year type of thing.
Right.
And so when you're a company like CBS and you have to worry every year that you're going to make sure every detail is correct. So, you know, it's just from A to Z, top to bottom, everything is sort of well thought out and well orchestrated.
Absolutely. And talk about from the TV perspective. So I started playing golf when I was 13.
Right.
So I've been watching a match just since I'm 13. Never been. The TV just does not explain to you the golf course.
Right.
You just cannot see it.
Now, is it the color of it? Is it the topography?
It's everything.
Yeah.
So the undulations. Yeah. You don't see the undulations on TV. And obviously, as the TV has gotten better and better and better,
sure, yeah,
you can see it more and more, but you just don't see it. You can't see sort of the subtleties of why can't, when he hit, if he hits it in the middle of the green, why can't he possibly two-putt it?
Right.
And, you know, the landing area, where they have to land it on a green that's so small. How small some of those greens are. Oh, boy. And how much they undulate up and down. I always thought of Augusta, quite honestly, from TV was, hey, these are huge wide fairways. And they are in generally relatively wide fairways. But you miss the fairway, it's tree-lined.
Right.
Now,
right,
it's pine trees so that the leaves are up so you can maneuver around the trees. But it's you know, you hit it there and you're just praying to make up, you know, get it around the green someplace where you can get it up and down, put it in a place where you can get up and down, because you can't get it on the green from when you're in the trees. You just, you
right,
know, the percentage is just, you know, you're not going to be able to do it.
Sure.
The attention to detail, like you said, on the golf course, again, you just don't I'll give you an example. So I was – everyone – you know what the Sub-Air is.
Right, right.
So Sub-Air is this drainage system they put on the greens.
Sure.
It's very expensive. Only a few golf courses have it.
And it basically, for if you don't know what it is by chance, it's a sub-air system. It helps them dial in the moisture levels of the golf course. If it rains, they can suck some water out of it.
Correct.
Is essentially what they're doing.
Correct. So, and if it's really hot, they can water the green more and suck the water down and make the roots go down.
Exactly.
So I was commenting to one of the members. I'm like, I can't believe how well this golf course drains, because it had rained, really poured one night.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, with an air, and he goes, well, you know, in the really high, a couple of those really high areas where the patrons walk, we had some people slipping, so I put the sub air under there. I'm like, you put sub air under where the patrons walk so they wouldn't fall?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't
golf courses can't afford to put sub air on their golf course in the greens.
In the greens,
they're
correct.
Putting it in the walkway.
Yeah, and for the patrons. I mean, but that's how much they care about their patrons, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's
which is really kind of cool, because in the sense that, listen, the Masters is in the prime spot to make tons and tons of money. It's the most anticipated major of the year, being that the last one was in August. It's at the same place every year. But they return it to the patron.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, they could just take that money and they can make themselves wealthy and they can improve some things, but they continue to make sure that the patron, you know, has the value of the experience.
The patron's going to have the experience that I had,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
Off the charts,
right?
Off the charts. I just
sub air in the walkways.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Excuse me, it's a little wet over here. Can you put the sub air on? I mean, it's amazing, right? It's amazing.
Something else. So, like, when I've been to a bunch of PGA Tour events, I've actually been behind the ropes at a couple of PGA Tour, at a U.S. Open. You know, when you went to U.S. Open at Bethpage, you had to kind of find your spot.
Right.
Right? So you find your spot and stay there, because if you didn't get your spot, you can, you know, try to go follow someone around. Unless you followed someone around real early in the morning.
Right, right.
It was impossible. The crowds are just too dense, too much to do it. Crowds at Augusta are not that way. I'm not going to tell you there's a lot of people, because there's plenty of people. Don't
sure,
get me wrong.
Of course.
But it's not. They control it.
Yeah.
So that you can go and walk around, and you can go and watch. Now, I'm sure on Sunday, if you want to get to the back nine, everybody's there.
Yeah, no.
But on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you could go anywhere and walk around and see what you wanted to see.
Yeah.
It was so cool. One of my favorite spots, we sat up by 15. Where they drove their ball and see if they're going to, you know,
go for
the green
too.
Or not. And there was a spotter there, and he said, well, that sprinkle head's 236 front. So you kind of knew. So here come Spieth and DeChambeau and Paul Casey, right? So we see Spieth hit, and he's, you know, okay, he's definitely going to lay up. Then we see Casey hit. He bombs one. He's definitely going to go for it. And then DeChambeau was right on the 236. And that was, you know, some guys had laid up. Some guys – it was into a pretty strong wind.
Right, right.
And by the way, if you're standing up there looking down at that green, folks, there is no green.
Right. It doesn't look like
it. There is no green.
It's bizarre, right? The way – because people don't realize that angle, like, because you don't – you never see that view.
Yeah. There's no green.
It doesn't look – it looks very – it doesn't look
– I mean, when you go down there, you see there really isn't much green. But when
right.
you're back up there at 236 front, you're going, well, where am I going to
hit this?
Where am I going to hit
this? It's amazing.
I see water. I see a little patch of green, and I see water behind. Where am I going?
The water for 16 in the back, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So optically, it's so intimidating.
Optically, it's just, you know – super intimidating. And we're debating, is DeChambeau going to go for it or not? And
break out the money. Know, I got a dollar he goes for,
right,
a dollar.
Exactly. And I said to one of my boy, I'd love to see a head cover come off here. Sure enough, he pulls out a head cover. He hits a great shot. Wow, he hit a great shot. Just rolls off the back. P.S., he then hits a great chip that rolls off the green into the water, and he got up and down for six.
Oh, my God.
And he hit – we stood in that spot for a while. He had as good a shot as we've seen from there, and he couldn't hold the green.
Sure.
And obviously, short's not so good.
Definitely.
He found out how short's not so good on his third shot as it rolled into the water.
Unbelievable. We got to get up and down for one more break. So we'll be right back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In the studio is Woody Lashin from Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, you're at the Masters. Obviously, the vibrant colors are off the chart. The undulations are, you just can't fathom them because TV flattens everything out pretty much, even though they have now, you know, 3D and all that stuff, virtual reality and all this crazy stuff. But the mass people don't have that stuff. So everything flattens it out, and you know, everything looks flat to us, or relatively flat. Anything that you saw that sort of surprised you? Obviously, I would have been surprised that they're putting sub-air under the walkways and that there's even bathroom attendants. But, I mean, things that you wouldn't even known to expect, that things that kind of caught you off guard, like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that, or why players do certain things because you didn't notice it from TV or anything like that?
I don't think a whole lot took me by surprise from that standpoint, although if you go, you get to watch these guys in a practice round,
Right.
How you're like, wow, some guy goes, oh, he pulled that way left. And I'm like, no, he's going for the left pin.
Right.
He's not going for the pin, it's there.
Right.
And they go up on the green, and the caddies throw these discs down on the practice rounds where they think the four pins are going to be.
Right.
And so they can practice putting or chipping to those spots. I think one of the things that did take for me is real quick, if you will, I got to play Oakmont like 2 weeks before the U.S. Open, the last day they closed it.
Right.
And it was impossible.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, it's impossible. So I go here, and I'm going, if you drop me at 150 yards in the middle of the fairway in every hole, I'm not breaking 80. Those greens are so hard.
Right.
You have to be able to control the flight of your of your golf ball.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be that.
Right.
And it's a long, hilly golf course.
And folks, Woody's pretty much a 2 handicap or somewhere around. It depends on, well, I'll ask Kirk. He knows better than me. No, but I mean, so, you know, we're talking a near-scratch golfer who says, you dropped me from 150. Forget about trying to drive the ball in the fairway, which is pretty narrow, 20 yards wide.
The fairway's a little wider there than a U.S. Open. A little wider. But
if you're telling me a 2 handicap can't break, you know, just taking a ball, 18 balls or 14 balls from 150 yards, or, you know,
because
16 balls from 150 yards, you tell me you can't break 80. That's insane.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to – I think if I dropped you in the middle of each green and said, Anthony, here you go, you're in the middle of each green, good luck.
Right.
There's places you cannot be in the middle of the green.
Right.
You cannot.
Right.
I mean, because you probably can't keep it on the green.
Right. Which is the same thing at Augusta, but you can't necessarily see that on TV.
Right. That's what I'm saying. At Augusta, you can't see it, but being there live, you go, Anthony, here you go. You got a 15-foot putt.
Good luck with that.
You'll make it or get your wedge.
Right. Or exactly. And those are the things you just can't appreciate.
You can't
from TV.
No, you can't. And I mean, you know, those guys are so good.
Right.
They're just so good. And, you know, we complain sometimes, like, you know, we were watching a couple guys like, oh, boy, he's playing slow. But you realize he's got a 2 or 3 yard window to hit the ball in, or he can't put it in a place where he can either make a putt or make a 2-putt from.
Sure.
So, you know, the wind is blowing, and he's waiting for that right window because
– it's the Masters.
It's 2 or 3 yards.
Right. Exactly. And it's the Masters. You know, he's not playing in, you know, this, no offense, but it's not the Bob Hope Classic either. You know what I mean? It's a major championship, you know.
Yep.
The reason, you know, that reference is so old is there is no Bob Hope. But I'm just saying, the point is being that, you know, this is a major championship where the margins are narrow.
Very narrow.
Very narrow.
Very narrow.
And so, You know, like you said, well, case in point, DeChambeau, he's over the green in 2 at 15, chips the ball in the water.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to process. It's going to take some time.
You know what else you can really see is you can see why Bernhard Langer was able to contend.
Right.
Because if you know the golf course inside out and you can golf your ball, you can play around the golf course. And if it's playing hard, which it was because of the wind, you could be the old guy can be competitive.
Yes.
Where, you know, I don't think Bernhard Langer, if you will, at the Bob Hope Classic has any chance.
No, right.
He's got no chance because he can't make that many birdies. He doesn't hit far enough compared to the big boys.
And I think that was the big thing about the early in the week, and especially Saturday. Saturday was just brutal in terms of conditions. I mean, that wind was – I mean, it was like watching a U.S. Open, really. But to your point, that's exactly why he was able to stay in it because, first of all, the conditions leveled the field to some degree because now he could rely on experience where the younger kids who bomb and gouge kind of guys don't really, you know, or is not as experienced, don't know these, like you said, the subtleties and the nuances of the golf course, didn't know where to golf their ball. And that's why Langer was able to contend on Saturday and not contend on Sunday.
Correct.
Because they took the X factor out, Mother Nature, and it became birdie's paradise because they want, and thank God, because we really wanted roars on the back nine, and boy, did we get them, and groans. But the bottom line was that's what, and even Langer said it afterwards because I had tweeted it out. I'm like, no way he contends. He just can't do it. He can't be in a shootout with these young guns. And he said it. He said it afterwards. He's like, there's no wind. I have to be aggressive. You know, the conditions were perfect. I have to be aggressive. And I was over aggressive. And like you said, when you're talking about over aggressive means maybe 3 yards versus 2 yards. That's
exactly
what over aggressive means. It's not 5 or 10 yards. Over aggressive means a yard and a half. You know, 1 inch on a putt or a fraction too much weight on a putt. And now you got a 15 footer coming back, you know, whatever the case may be. So, Just real interesting stuff, and
I'll just finish by saying, if you get a chance, this is a unexpected opportunity that I got to invited. If you get invited, you have to go. You want to put your name in for the practice round because they do
the lottery.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. It's an experience you have to. You have to take if you're a diehard golfer.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back to wrap things up with a company that's not necessarily a disruptor, but definitely starting to influence some other companies. You'll get that when we get back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back on par with Anthony Scorsia here to wrap things up. Woody Lashin. Woody, let's just talk a little bit about Parsons. And I only bring them up. We've talked about them plenty. We know that they're starting to make a little bit of a mark on the golf course. They signed DeChambeau, which is obviously perfect. Not DeChambeau. They signed a number of players.
Zach Johnson, Billy Horschel.
Right, and so... So they're making their mark in professional golf a little bit, but they're obviously, we've talked about how they're a limited market company. I mean, not everybody. This is not a set of clubs for everybody.
It's a Ferrari.
So if you want to, you know, if you have that kind of money, then you could buy a Ferrari. But for majority of golfers, it's not something that's really reasonable or sensible. But talk a little bit about how they're starting to influence some other companies. Particularly Titleist, something that you've never seen before. Now Titleist has an offer, so they're starting to offer them a little bit, or starting to come out with a product that normally would never have happened.
So PXG has, I think, done so much better than everyone expected them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Titleist is coming out with this product called the C16. It's a concept product. It's a limited availability. I think they're going to make 1,500 drivers. They're going to make 1,000 set of irons. It's a $1,000 driver.
$1,000.
$1,000 driver. Now, we haven't tested it yet, so I don't know if it's any good or not. But this design, they didn't just say 2 weeks ago, hey, we'll come out with this design. This something had to be designed years ago. And they had to say, no, we can't sell it. It's a great concept, but we can't sell it. And because it's going to be too expensive to produce. And I think the PXG effect is I'm going, well, wait a minute. Maybe there is a market for this. Maybe there is someone that if it's better, has to be better, that someone can say, no, I don't care what, you know, I want to buy the Ferrari if it's better. If it's not better, I'm not buying it. But if it's better, and I think you're going to see more of that from other companies, if you will. Products are expensive, but expensive from an engineering standpoint.
Of course.
A cost of design, cost of manufacturing, a cost of components that we haven't seen in golf business. And I was talking to a friend of mine. His dad was a car salesman, and he sold Cadillacs. And he was telling me that they came out with a $10,000 Cadillac, and his father said, "Oh, I'm never going to sell this $10,000 Cadillac. We could get over selling $7,000.
Long time ago.
Oh, it's a long time ago." And sure enough, they couldn't keep him in the showroom.
Right.
Because it was better. It was better. People were willing to spend the money.
It was more luxury.
Right. And, you know, it's not for everybody. These are not products that we're going to, you know, you're going to give to the masses. Mm-hmm. But PXG absolutely is influencing some of the major manufacturers to say, hey, you know, we know you might have some of these designs on your table, or maybe you better start, you know, trying to design it, because we're here to stay. Mm-hmm. We're going to build premium designed products, and that's the key ingredient here is design. It's always been expensive products. I could always sell you something expensive. The question was it something expensive that was expensive because how it was engineered or how it was marketed?
Right, exactly. Well, you're selling them. I mean, PA, they're
well, awesome. It's performance. It sells based on performance, but right. You have to take the you know, it's kind of thing. If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Right. Yeah.
But
performance. They're selling.
Oh yeah, they are selling because it performs.
Yeah.
Because when you put in a taste test and
did they surprise even you? In terms of how much you're selling them out of the shop?
You know what, quite honestly, it didn't really surprise me, because I knew that if you have a product that outperforms, the customers that come in our store, there are plenty of them that don't care.
Right.
And by the way, folks, you know, for us, you have to ask about PXG. We're not gonna put in someone's hands, because last thing I want to do is put a that expensive club in your hands when you're looking to, you know, buy a $100 iron.
Well, or if you don't even know, and then you get to tell them, oh, well, that's great, but that's $700 or whatever.
Right.
Or whatever.
So I'm not gonna do that. It's definitely for a select area of the market. But you know, our goal always is to help every golfer.
Sure.
Whether it's the guy who plays once a month and is just looking to get a good set of golf clubs that he can keep for 15 years, or it's the diehard golfer who's playing 100 rounds a year and, you know, belongs to a club and wants the maximum performance. We want to help everybody.
Sure. And that's what you guys do. I mean, we had Steve Goldman in last week, and we're going to actually have him back, because I think I'm going to turn that one episode or one interview into a series, because we're going to break down how we went through each individual component rather than, you know, we got the overall experience, which obviously he loved. But now we're going to go, we'll have him back in for each component. So we'll turn it into one interview, into four interviews, and we'll just go through driver, irons, putter, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that little educational series, if you will.
Me too. I love it.
Well, Woody, always a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your master's experience. Thank you for being in studio. I always love it when you're in studio. Time always goes by a little too quick when you're here. But look forward to having you back soon.
I'll be back soon, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, folks. Tune in next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.